As many of you know, who are regular members here, I'm a big fan of Batman. Batman is my favorite superhero. Even if what makes his superpower is money and lots of toys and stuff, as the Joker put it, I really like Batman. And you know, we'll see kids these days say they wish they could be Batman or Spider-Man or Superman. And we look at everything that they have in common, and all of their parents died. So these kids saying they want to be these people, I hope that's not a sign to our parents that that's not good. But I liked the trilogy that Christopher Nolan did with Batman. And it showed where his humble beginnings were, how he left Gotham and came back as the Dark Knight. One of the quotes from the third movie that really resonated with me was, "A hero can be anyone, even a man doing something as simple and reassuring as putting a coat around a little boy's shoulder to let him know that the world hasn't ended." We see what's going on with young Bruce Wayne. That is a Batman's secret identity. We see a young boy who lost his parents, and is Commissioner Gordon was the one that put the coat around him. It was his reminder the world hadn't ended. You know, we see the transformation begin then. Something was going to be different about this boy. And as the character would happen, have it happen, he also took under his wing, literally, Batwing, didn't plan on that, Dick Grayson, who was Robin. Dick Grayson lost his family in an accident. And throughout the history of comics, I don't read comics, but throughout the history of what has happened, there were a couple of different Robins. The original Robin became a different character, and quite a few have had characters of their own. Regardless of the origin stories throughout the years, Batman's been a hero. He's been a different type of hero. And what we see here in this quote is, even though he was one of Gotham's greatest citizens, we'll see that something as little as putting a coat around his shoulders made Jim Gordon a hero to him. So what does it take for us to be a hero that the world deserves? Let's look at the definition of a hero. A person who is admired or idealized for courage, outstanding achievements, or noble qualities. If we're going to be heroes, if we're going to make a difference in the world in a way that has eternal ramifications, we have to have a belief in God's word. Today, many look up at sports stars and athletes, movie stars, musicians, and they're seen as heroes in many of the things they do, but they're not God's heroes. The heroes of the Bible were not men and women of extraordinary ability and talent, but men and women of extraordinary faith. We can look on television and hear people with beautiful voices. We can see during sports exhibitions people with great athletic ability. To be a hero in the sight of God, to make an impact of eternal ramifications, you don't have to be able to jump high. You don't have to sing pretty. You just have to have a belief in God's word. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 30, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us as wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption." We see that Jesus came into this world not to create a mighty physical kingdom, to be a mighty warrior that was to come and to change the face physically of Israel. He came to change the world, and he did so spiritually. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 18, "In hope, He believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations. As he had been told, so shall your offspring be. In Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We have to have a belief in God's word. We find the Bible, the most beautiful love story ever told, shows that God has made a way for us to be right with him when sin separates us from him. Sin separates us from God is ugly. And sometimes we try to change the words of sin to make them more acceptable. It's totally, totally awful. You know, we go out and we become Christians. And we'll have people that come to us in sinful lifestyle not understanding why we have trouble with some of the things that they're doing pertaining to the Bible. The only way I can compare it is I remember having dogs. I had West Highland White Terriers or Westies. And if there was something disgusting in the backyard, they were, one, going to find it, and two, they were going to roll in it, and three, they were going to want to sit in your lap. And you know, these dogs would come in and they would roll around in whatever filth this was, and they would come and run into the house, tags wailing, tongues wagging, and they were just so happy and excited to see you. And they're, hey, let's gonna spray you off. This is awful. This is terrible. You know, we can make this comparison to our worldly friends, can't we? We're trying to live a life where we're not rolling around in disgustingness, and our friends can be rolling around in sin, and they come up to you happy to see you. Hey, what's up, buddy? Hey, let's go do this sinful thing. Or let's go do that sinful thing. And we're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Hey, let's teach you the truth. Let's wash you off. You know, some dogs hate baths. You know, some people do too, apparently. But you know, we consider, if we're going to be pleasing to God, God is a rewarder of those who are diligent. But a belief in God's word allows us to know what the standard is, so that we can live that as well as share that with our friends, so that we can be effective heroes of faith. It's one thing to put a jacket around the shoulders of someone. It's another to share with them the most important thing that there is to share. We have to have a commitment to God's will. A commitment to God's will. My father-in-law is a director at the Brown Trail School of Preaching. My mother-in-law is a secretary that's over there. And they lived in Ohio when they had first gotten married. And I believe they lived in a duplex or a house that was next to another house. And there was a sweet little older lady that lived next door and bugged my mother-in-law relentlessly about watching the Jewel Miller film strip with her. And finally, to shut her up, my mother-in-law decided to sit and watch the film strip. She heard the truth and obeyed the gospel. My father-in-law started attending services, heard the truth, and he obeyed the gospel. Wasn't long after that, he continued to study and started to preach. They had four kids. Did 8 years of mission work over in Tanzania, East Africa. He's now been at the Brown Trail School preaching for 11 years, training men to be gospel preachers. He has three sons who are gospel preachers. He's got a daughter who's sitting there that married me, a gospel preacher. And I sit back and I think, thank God for the commitment of that sweet older lady that lived next door. I don't know if she's passed on from this life, but I do know that if she's in heaven and I get there too, if we can hug people, I want to hug her. I know there are going to be a lot of people that will. Did she have power? Did she have physical strength? Was she mighty in just the way she was? No. She was humble. She was relentless. And she was committed. We look in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. In Hebrews 11, we see about heroes of faith. A long list of the heroes of faith. These heroes of faith died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on earth. Abraham was told, you will be a blessing. Abraham left out of obedience. He heard the gospel call. Was obedience not knowing about Jesus? How blessed are we to know Jesus and to know who He is and what He did for us. In Joshua 24 and verse 15, we're familiar with this passage. If it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you'll serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He's telling the people, you know what, if you want to go serve the gods of the countries we've been in, you go and do that. You've seen what we do to them. If you want to go back to that, you go back to that. But as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. The most powerful weapon on earth is the human soul on fire for God. We're to be consecrated, not to Christian work, but to the will of God, to be and to do whatever He requires. We as Christians don't stand and do things because, you know, we want to do them. It should be we are compelled because we are His. We see that Joshua worked and said, you know, I don't care what comes my way. Me and my house are going to serve the Lord. In the 37th Psalm in verse 5, commit your way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Trust God. You know, it's hard to not get caught up in vengeance, isn't it? Someone does you wrong, and it's hard to sit back and say, you know what? I'm going to let God take care of this and continue my fight. It's very difficult. But ultimately, we commit to the Lord. We get the distractions out of our way. We trust God. He'll make everything right, even if it takes to be on the day of judgment. I found this quote, had to modify it some, and didn't want to put the name of the person that said it. But give me 100 people who fear nothing but sin, desire nothing but God, and I will shake the world. I don't care who they are. Such alone will overthrow the plans of the devil and build up the Lord's church. You know, we don't have to have people eloquent in speech, people who are amazing athletes. We don't have to have people who can get up and give homiletic lessons that are uncompared. We need to have people who fear nothing but sin, who desire nothing but God, and understand that we can shake the world. We can make a difference that's going to be truly beautiful. If we're going to have a belief in God's Word and a commitment to God's will, we must show a devotion to God's work. I guess it was last year. I don't remember what time of year it was. Chris gave me a call, and y'all were doing the fair. And people were getting in the booth at the fair and giving out tracts. And Chris was like, hey, why don't you come up and sit in the booth with me? And I was working at the School of Preaching. I was like, yeah, that sounds great. That sounds like a lot of fun. And I remember Chris and I getting there, and it was Keeley and the Ropers. They had been there, and we swapped off. And it had been raining outside and smelled like stinky dog. It was terrible. You get all those people herded in there together, it smells awful. But I noticed how Chris and I were able to work together. We stopped and talked to everybody, gave everybody that would take information that information. And it was so interesting, as the week had gone on, Chris was like, hey, I need to know if you're going to be able to come. We're running out of spots. So many people are signing up to work at this fair. And I was like, wow, that's fantastic. You know, after it was over, I was on fire. Chris, I guess my wife and kiddos were over at the Grota's house, and Chris and I left the Civic Center, and this is one of my favorite parts. It's raining bad, and Chris and I turn right and go down, and there's people walking down the sidewalk, and he drives a little too close to the sidewalk and catches a big puddle right at the corner, and I mean, it's tsunami waves and splashes everybody on the sidewalk. And I mean, I doubled over laughing. I couldn't quit. He's like, I didn't do it on purpose. I'm like, irregardless, they're covered in water. Regardless, it was hilarious. Guess you had to be there. Got a couple laughs. But it was really funny. It was really funny. But a lot of good was done, and I got to see the heart of the people at North Jefferson. There was a devotion to God's work. You know, if you got to be at VBS, amen. Wow. Yes. I have never, ever, ever been to a VBS that was put together like this one. I was reared in the church. I've been to VBSs all my life. And the bulletin boards were better than some of what I've had. But you look at what we had. We had the Dead Sea Scrolls out here. Not the Deep Sea Scrolls, but we had the Dead Sea Scrolls. We had all kinds of stuff and hours of work. Oh, and it was good. Oh, it was good. And you know, we have another chance to serve. Fuel Up is coming this week. Sign-ups are out in the foyer. Passed by there earlier. Looks like there's already quite a few names signed up. It's fantastic. If we're going to be Christians, we've got to show a devotion to God's Word, to the work that needs to be done. We need to be ready to serve. In James chapter 2 and verse 18, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your work apart. Show me your faith apart from your works. And I will show you my faith by my works. Some people will say, well, I'm saved by faith. And some people will say, I'm saved by faith alone. Some will say, I'm saved by grace alone. And those who are bad at math will say, I'm saved by faith and grace alone. Two alones. What we find is if we're going to be saved by faith, which we are, if we're going to be saved by grace, which we are, we have to be obedient to God's Word. And if we're going to be obedient, that is where we show what we believe. We go out, we work diligently because we have a strong belief in what we're holding to. We can show our faith by our works. How are you showing your faith? How are you showing your faith? James 2:20, do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Faith apart from works is useless. You know, that's not me. That's not my opinion. That's straight from the Bible, James chapter 2 and verse 20. The typos aren't from the Bible. Those are from me. But if you look in the Bible, do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? You can be a nice person. You can be good as society deems it. But if you are not active in God's work, you are not pleasing to God. Teddy Roosevelt said it. I love this quote. I am only an average man, but I work harder at it than the average man. You know, there are people all over our community that claim Christendom. They claim that they're Christians. What are they doing that we're not doing? As I said in class, I love being a member of the New Testament church. No more, no less. If people say, why do you believe this in the Church of Christ? Say, all right, well, this is what the Scripture says. This is what the Scripture says. This is what the Scripture says. I don't have to go to a pastor. I can. We've got three elders. I don't have to go to a creed book. I don't have to go to a catechism. I don't have to wait for a yearly conference to tell me what I believe. I go to the Bible. You got a if you're a visitor here this morning, you wonder why we do something a certain way. I can show you in Scripture why. I love that. I love that fact. We look in Hebrews chapter 12. Oh, I got another quote. In Christ's service, the heroes are those who work until Christ says it's time to stop. You know, there are some that we do a disservice to our young people as well as to our older people sometimes, don't we? We tell our younger people, you know, y'all are the future of the church, which basically means sit back, shut up, and just watch. And then we also do a disservice to our older brethren when some say, well, I'm at my retirement age. I've given many years of service, so I can just sit back and roll in on my glory. It's not true. There is no retirement age in the church. If we are going to be committed, we've got to show that devotion for God's work as we can until we take our final breath. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, "Wherefore, seeing we are also surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight," and another typo, "which doth so easily best us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God." When we consider being devoted to God's word, we need to be a people ready to have an active, acting faith. So we consider, what's it take to be a hero? A hero can be anyone, even a man doing something as simple as reassuring, as putting a coat around a little boy's shoulder to let him know the world hasn't ended. We have an opportunity to serve. You know, sometimes all it may take is handing somebody a sandwich. Let them know that you love them, and let them know that God loves them. And we can find people that will be diligent to seek God. A hero doesn't have to have superpowers. A real hero is ready to help. If you want to be a hero in God's eyes, believe in His word, be committed to God's will, and be devoted to God's work. You know, if you're not a Christian this morning, I'd encourage you to become one. If you've heard Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, you're ready to believe that He's the Son of God, John 3:16. Ready to repent of your sins, as Christ said in Luke 13:3, repent or likewise perish. Confess Jesus Christ as Lord, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. And to be baptized. And that's a full immersion in water. As Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4 states, that is when we walk in a newness of life. In 1 Peter 3:21, it says that is when we are saved. When we become Christians, we also need to be faithful. If you are struggling with your Christian walk, if you hadn't been the hero that you know you can be, do whatever it takes to be that hero. If you need the prayers of the congregation, or if you want to become a Christian, please come forward as we stand and sing.